This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thank you for joining us here on a Thursday here on the Generic Live. That was really too energetic for my liking. Thanks for joining us here on a Thursday. I actually enjoy Last Christmas, you know, for the Wham song. Last Christmas. I don't mind that song. I don't know why. And a little late bit version of the Love Stones. Yeah, it's got 12 or 10 seconds left. There you go. I want to hear the full version of that song. I was just singing along, bopping along, and I missed my cue. Yay. Anyway, thank you for joining us here on a Thursday. Actually, I like that song because it brings up some memories, you know. It's Christmas time. I'm going to bring up some memories. But Last Christmas brings up some weird memories for me. I won't talk about them here on this show because I have talked about them before on more appropriate formats. I'll say that out loud. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Of course, we are following the San Bernardino story. We are, of course, bringing you the latest on the terrible mass shooting in America that broke today. We don't have any further developments on it, but just to inform you of some of the key facts, 14 people have been killed in a mass shooting, 17 people have been wounded. The shooting occurred at a community center for disabled people. It happened on the South Waterman Avenue at the Inland Regional Center near the public golf course in San Bernardino. Police later tracked down and killed two of the suspects, a man and a woman. It is believed that a third suspect is still on the run, however, and still has not been caused. Of course, our prayers go out to those families who have been affected by the shooting. And of course, people are being still encouraged to stay inside, of course, because it is still not safe to go outside in situations like this as well. So people in inland buildings are encouraged to stay inside and have stayed inside as well. Excuse me. So we are following that story. That is a story that we are following here on the Generic Live Show. Changing topics completely, we don't actually talk about sports too often on the show, nor do we talk about sports in positive light, but we'll get to that. We don't talk about sports on this program much at all because I'm not a sports person. I don't know much about sports, so I'm not going to bring up something I don't know about. But cricket is something that I do know about because I played cricket way back in the day, back when I was a strapping young man. I'm still a strapping young man for those only listening to the audio. Well, touch wood that I'm still... That was me knocking. That I'm still a charming, strapping young man is what I said. not relevant! Anyway, I played when I was about... if my mother's listening, she can correct me, between the ages of 9 and 11? That sounds right to me. And I had a cricket bat signed by the famous Steve Waugh. I don't know where that is. Don't think it's in the office, so I can't really pull it out during the next commercial break. It should probably down my front door to stop intruders coming for anyone paying any attention. Anyway, moving off that slightly, the Big Bash, which is a league, is on corruption alert after billions of dollars were spent on matches. Now, those who don't know what the Big Bash League is. The Big Bash League is a cricket game, which is basically you're encouraged to smash the ball for money, blah, 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 essentially. It's like a one-day... there is a top 10 questions of best sports quiz. Oh, I'm going to take that in a sec. Basically, that's what that is about. So they're basically encouraged to smash the ball as much as they can because it's a stadium show. It's less of a cricket match and more of a stadium show. The article reads by Chris Barlett, excuse me, sports reporter, someone who we haven't heard about on the show. Players and officials have been warned about the pearls of corruption with the news that it's an astounding $2.2 billion was bet on the last Big Bash League. The new edition of the city-based 2020 tournament... Oh, they only play 20 overs too, by the way. 20 overs is 6 deliveries. So, yeah. Anyway. Excuse me. Begins in a fortnight with Sydney Derby taking on the Thunder and the Sixers at Spotless Stadium. I don't know why a cleaning company is sporting a stadium. I'm getting off topic. We're talking about sports. I'm getting off topic. And there is anticipated to be more attention on it than a year ago with fears the touring West Indies will be fearful opposition in the test arena for Australia. The feverish interest of punters in the Big Bash League needs no further injection, though if last season's figures are to go by, the game stakeholders around the country, from Big Bash League franchises to venues, have been told by Cricket Australia that a total of $2.2 billion was wagered on the 2014-2015 version on the regulated market alone, a lofty figure that averages more than $60 million each across the 35 matches played last December and January. The significant share of the betting was undertaken through global exchange Betfair, which reported a 28.6% lift in Big Bash League revenue from the previous season of 70% rise at Betfair UK. The pre-Big Bash League briefing, a fixture of the CA's anti-corruption measures, comes as the national body, intent of trying to ensure the integrity of its competitions, reaches out for the first time to prominent offshore betting operations in an effort to establish lines of communication and request exchange of information about betting parties on the sport. On advice of the Australian Federal Police and the Victorian Sports Integrity Intelligence Units, an arm of Victoria Police, CA Cricket Australia has attempted to make contact with two companies that have told her they were major players in the cricket market. SBO Bet in the Philippines and Curaco-based organization Pinnacle, two N's, Sports. They've not heard back, and the chances of a response, let alone a degree of cooperation, is not exactly bright. Unlike corporate bookmakers in Australia, the offshore agency is not bound by information sharing integrity arrangements of the sports. This is why cricket, in conjunction with 4 football codes, tennis, netball, are supporting corporations like Betfair, William Hall, Bet365 to push to introduce online in-play betting on Australia's sports markets. Wagers under the 2001 Interactive Gambling Act that can only be presented over the phone. Fascinatingly enough, the arrangement is that punters are available to bet the way through operators here, but won't use accounts with unregistered offshore entities not restricted by Australia law or Australia integrity agreements. Cricket stamp to spike up a relationship with the overseas bodies are contained in the submission of the Coalition of Professional and Participation Sports to the federal government, and priced with a view of impact to offshore betting led by New South Wales Premier Barry O'Farrell. Australian cricket is a long-standing proactive approach to sports integrity managers, a Cricket Australia spokesperson said. While betting on the sport is not new to our community, the increase of popularity in recent years has shown to take significant steps to ensure we safeguard the integrity of our competitions. Unlike the Indian Premier League, the Bangladesh Premier League, and the defaulted Indian Cricket League T20 competitions, there are no players or officials reported for any correlation-related offences to revamp the Big Bash League 4 years ago. Now, this is basically just a protection. Yeah, this is basically a protection. Protection alert. Protect yourselves. You gotta look after number one, which is yourself. You know, you gotta look after where your bread is buttered. People, don't go betting on yourself, and just be wary of who you're allowing to bet on these matches. But in saying that, these are offshore companies, so you kind of have no control over who is, you know, betting on your matches and who's not betting on your matches, per se. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really take ultimate control of that if you are, you know, having people overseas betting on your sports. Excuse me. So, excuse me. Wow, a cough switch would be really handy, Dale. That right there. Yes, but the point is, I think you've got to be wary, and you've always got to be alert. But it's time for Test Dale on his cricket knowledge. What do we have? Any? We don't have any uplifting music for this, do we? We don't. No. All right. So that's fine. So Test Dale on his cricket on his knowledge. Who is the A-League's only dual Johnny Warren medal winner? Oh, dear the Lord. I have no idea who these people are. Thomas Brosh, Joel Griffiths, Shane Smeltz, or Nick Carley? I have no idea. Nick Carley? Incorrect. It was Thomas Brosh. Okay. Two. Central Pulse plays in which competition? Women's National Basketball League, Women's Big Bash League, Australian Baseball League, Trans-Tasmanian Netball Championship. Well, this is a Big Bash League competition article. No! Okay. It's a Trans-Tasmanian Netball Championship. Okay. 3 out of 10. Who won? Which nation won its only Davis Cup in 2014? Canada, Russia, Belgium, or Switzerland? Davis Cup is... I have no idea. That's... I don't even know. It's only... Nation to win its only Davis Cup in 2014. I'm going to say... Whoa, geez. Switzerland? Yes! Woo! Not that I really knew that. But I've got one. So one out of... Oh, wow. Okay. Who was the first batsman dismissed in an all-day... in a day-night test? Ever? John Latham, Joe Burns, Martin Guptill, or David Warner? First batsman dismissed in a day-night test. God, that could be anyone. I'm going to go Tom Latham. Incorrect. It was Martin Guptill. I don't know who that is. He was out for one. Oh, jeez. Okay. 5 out of 10. We've got to take our break here. Who won the 2015 Brownlow Medal? I don't know. Nick Favre, Kurt Tippett, Mark Prydas or Patrick Dangerfield? Is it Patrick Dangerfield? No, it was Nat Fulrivi. Okay. Which world surfing champ was introduced to Sports Australia's Hall of Fame in 1995? I have no clue. Tom Carroll, Nat Young, Pam Burbridge, or Mark Richards? I'm going to say it's Nat Young? Nah. Pam Burbridge. I don't know. Who trained Maccabi Diva at her first Melbourne Cup win? David Hayes, Burt Cummings, David Hall, Lee Freeman. It's either Burt Cummings or Lee Friedman, because I always get these two mixed up. It's going to be awkward to one of the Davids. I'm going to say Burt Cummings. It was David Hall! Ha! 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 Alright. Who won the 2015 Willie Lewis Medal as State of Origin Player of the Series? Greg English, Robbie Farrar, Tony Packer, Jonathan Thurston. Jonathan Thurston. No, it was Corey Packer. Lord. How many majors has Tiger Woods won? 15, 11, 14, 13. I should know this. 14? Yes! Okay. 14, but none since the 2008 US Open. Okay. Final question. Which NBA team drafted Kobe Bryant in 1996? Oh my gosh. Kobe Bryant. That name sounds really familiar. I'm going to say, I don't know. Philadelphia 69ers, Charlotte Hornets, LA Lakers, LA Clippers. I'm going to say LA Lakers. Yeah, it was the... God. It was the Charlotte Hornets, although he was defeated by 13... drafted by at 13 by the Hornets, traded for Val Divac. God, I got one. I actually got two. Did I get two? Nah. Yeah, struggler. 20%. Although I'm in the majority. I'm 1,515 people. That was really, really bad. And that was bad. So we will never do that. Actually, that was kind of fun. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, Kevin Rudd, former Prime Minister of this country, has finally spoken out on what he really thinks about climate change. What does a former Prime Minister say about climate change? Find out right after this as we continue and we take no more quizzes for the show. It's 1:23.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show here on a Thursday. Thank you for joining us. We are running a little bit late, unfortunately, due to that sports ball quiz. You know that sports ball quiz, a lot of people during the break were saying, yep, clip of the day. So I'm going to have to dig that out and try and stumble my way through the podcast and make that clip of the week for you. So that was fun. We're now running like 7 minutes late. Well, not 7 minutes late, but we're running a couple of minutes behind. But not enough behind to allow Kevin Rudd, former Prime Minister of Australia, to weigh in on a kind of review style show. Actually, he's not doing a review style show. That would be pretty cool. I'd watch that. I would watch a Kevin Rudd review style show. He gives a Tito score on Malcolm Turnbull's performance at the, well, his leadership on the issue and his performance in Paris. Of course, we have a theme for when people give Tito scores on the Chef Wonder Podcast Network. It goes, the bumper goes a little bit like this.
Look, I saw Dale's humongous.
That's right, you saw my humongous. I had to pull that out throughout the commercial break. You know how hard that was to draw through hundreds of files to find that clip? But anyway, that was well paid off, actually. This is why we have commercial breaks. He would rate it a 6 or 7, so 6.5. I had to ask Kevin Rudd which half of the trainee he would give for his performance of out of 10, and the jury is out on Malcolm Turnbull's leadership in the issue. The ex-Labour leader is now serving as president of New York-based Asia Society. Also took a swipe at the Greens over his ill-fated emissions trading scheme, saying that it wasn't where Australia was meant to be on the issue. Okay. Yeah, that's not what the article says, but that's what he means. Quote, had the Greens bothered to pass the emissions trading scheme back in 2009 rather than allowing it the perfect to get in the road of the good, then we could have been 5 years down the track when dealing with most of these countries we are dealing with, Kevin Rudd told news.com.au on the sidelines of the Paris conference. Quote, we put it through the Senate twice and got voted down twice by the Greens, and it had bothered being all that. But it's history. At present, international community is giving Malcolm Turnbull the benefit of the doubt to see what he can do now, which we'll get back to. Mr. Rudd led the Australian delegation to last major international summit on the issue in 2009. However, that meeting was widely seen as a disaster, largely due to the failure of India and China, along with the US account for the lion's share of global emissions to engage on the issue. Five years on, Mr. Rudd said that China has taken a 180-degree shift on the issue and says that climate policy and the science behind global warming is not seen as continuous. Quote, in 2009, we arrived at the conference. Then it was kind of a 3 or 4 out of a 10. Oh, God, he gives another Tito score. I was only ready for the 1. Gave himself a 3.5 out of 10, a Tito score.
Look, I saw Dale's humongous.
That's right. Three out of four out of ten. He gives himself a Tito score there. Pausing the autoplay, of course. So, given the dangerous history of Australia's attempts to put the price of carbon during the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd-Abbott-Turnbull era, was it frustrating for the former Prime Minister to sit on the bench? Quote, I've always been entirely physiological about politics. And that is that you should do what you do for the period that you can do it in. If you succeed, terrific, he says. As we continue here on GLS, I'm not even going to bother with the rest of this article because, yeah, on that note, he says if the Greens passed it, we would have done better than a 6.5 out of 10. So we continue here on GLS. We are feeling Oprah fever down under. Oh, God, that sounds. We're feeling Oprah down under. That's right. I said that quote out loud. Nice and clear so someone can take it way out of context later. If you feel Oprah fever down under, do you see her humongous?
Look, I saw Dale's humongous.
Yeah, do you see humongous down under? Anyway, Oprah fever is down under, but is it as good as it's being made out to be? Not by me, of course. I can't afford tickets to go to Melbourne to see it. Plus, I've got a big holiday coming up anyway. So we continue here on GLS Mopra Talk. It's 1:33. Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell. Thank you for joining us here on a Thursday here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Of course, every half hour we're giving you updates on the story of the day, of course, this San Bernardino shooting that happened in Florida. Not in Florida, in California, excuse me. Wow, that's a bad mistake to make. In California. It is a tragic fact. We've been giving you the facts. Every half hour on the show this afternoon, because we believe it's important to mention that if people, just in case people are listening, we've got to give them the points. 14 people have died. I have no idea why shower oil ads started playing during my serious read. 14 people have been killed in a mass shooting. More than 17 have been wounded. The shooting occurred at the Inland Regional Center, a center that helps adults with disabilities. That's what they do. On South Waterman Avenue, that is where, near there, that is where the center is located, near the public golf course as well. People who worked in the area today are encouraged to stay inside just in case they become targets. No further words of more deaths coming out of the hospitals of the wounded, but no news is good news, I guess. Two suspects, one male, one female, are dead after an officer-involved shooting near the initial scene. There are believed to be a third suspect at large involved who is led to be called as well. There are no further updates on this story as it stands. Thoughts and prayers from everyone around the world, of course. They continue to flood in, as well as we kind of, inform you of this. Changing gears ever so slightly. Oprah is in the country at the moment. That's right, we're feeling Oprah fever down under. That's the new tagline, or it should be. An evening with Oprah Winfrey. Of course, sharing her self-help strategies and personal experiences in a what can be described as a bright yellow, orangey, creamy, wall paint, skin tight suit. That's all right. Oprah, hello, it's me. I was wondering, after all these years, you would like to go meet and go over everything. Well, thanks, Adele, for that. Hello. Because 5 years on, we really need to talk. It's been five. The return of Oprah Winfrey to Australia's shores has made it hard to not think of those blissful days in late 2010 when she crisscrossed a delirious nation like a shooting star. Everyone wanted a slice of the Oprah action. She had an audience with the PM, or perhaps more correctly, Julia Gillard had an audience with her. Oh, Jesus. Fans traded vital organs to tickets for her shows. koalas lined up for a chance to snuggle her. Oh god, not reading that line. Wow. Okay, I'm drawing something. All this built up to a triumphant 2-hour taping at the steps of the Sydney Opera House. A sun-bathed, day-long celebration decorated with uber celebrations and laughter and song. For everyone that miserable day was drizzling and irresistible entertainment. Circulating a quartet for first name only local legend Oliver, Nicole, Hugh and Russell's. Surrendering the enormous crowd for a show-stopping finale of I Can Still Call Australia Home. It was pure wow. The review goes on for several hours like this, mind you. But, in saying that, though, it's important to read it all. Because, you know, what's GLS without a gay man reading Oprah reviews? Which brings up us to last night at the premiere at Melbourne's Rod Laver Arena. Oprah's new one-woman stage show. How to put this politely? It was not like that. At all. Dale, and if you've just joined us, I'm reading an incredibly mediocre, poorly written review of Oprah's premiere show last night at Rod Laver Arena. So here we go. It never promised to be, of course. The advertising slogan promised or warned that Oprah would help us turn up the volume. Turn up the volume is in parentheses, in our lives, and nothing else. But it's hard to overstate how far removed that from that previous extravaganza is this new Oprah experience actually is. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. That was Oprah, to borrow from the Winfrey parlance, being her best self, being her showbiz self. Anyway, agated, which she is invariable triumphant. This was not. This was like stumbling into the self-help section of a bookstore and having the shelves collapse on top of you. Maybe this should be the clip of the day. Whether the audience at Rod Laver Arena was prepared for what it had in store is hard to know. Certainly by the time she took stage, 25 minutes late, a packed house, including approximately 7 men, including, no, this as a woman, I'm a woman, was ready to be rocked, jiving on the big screens for a roving camera. And as a DJ spun demo-friendly tunes by the likes of Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie, then she appeared, just Oprah, and seized in a sparkly salmon creation on a sparkly stage with only a video backdrop for accompaniment. And that's how it stayed for nigh on 2 hours. Nothing but Oprah strolling on stage, delivering a mix of self-help, self-improvement, self-awareness strategies, blended with mostly familiar stories of her life. The only real surprise was her revelation that she had given in the name to the baby boy she lost as a teenager shortly after name. The name, apologies for the correct spelling, was Kayan.
Outside before the show, one audience member had heard her companion quote, "I wonder who her guest will be. Maybe Hugh Jackman," unquote. But there was no Hugh.
Having concurred, this arena is his own solo show last week. He was busy doing the same in Sydney.
And no one else either. This essentially a 120-minute monologue About 30 minutes in, I was when this reviewer popped out for a quick search of the best self-at liquor dispensary, a helpful of other petitioners, feeling for good. One of a group of three departing women put it bluntly, quote, I wouldn't stand another minute. It was sad indicative of woman that we need stuff like that, unquote. God, we're running late on this segment as well. Oh my God. What she meant was the recitation just witness of Whitfree's laundry list and shopping lists from her local trip to Woolworths of mottos to life be scavenged from a variety of sources had thrown up on the big screen against backdrops raging from enormous clouds to sun-dabbled cornfields as Oprah told us how the motto of the moment appeared in her life. There was the same time she learned to say no. That was to Stevie Wonder. Where am I up to? There I am. There was the same time she took a call from Steven Spielberg while wallowing in self-pity. At a fat farm, she was ringing to call to tell her part in The Color Purple that she had better not lose another pound. I don't know what this was I was doing. There was another time she cooked a goose, literally her partner Stanman, who came home late from golf, that she was already about to throw it at him. There was so much stories, such wow, more such mottos and mantras. Quote, my heart is my brand. Unquote. Quote, anything is possible if you keep your vibrational energy high. Among others that I will not read in this crappy voice. Final exhaustion. Quote, take glory, Melbourne. Insert generic city title here. Take glory and run, unquote. And run, some of us did. For the exits revealed was over. But for the true Oprah faithful and stripped her chat sir era variety and dazzle, the Oprah community feels more cult-like than ever. It was time to stand up and cheer. It was over, or I'm confused. Clearly they got what they came for, or something close enough that they weren't complaining. On their terms, on those Winfrey herself, the show is exactly what they wanted it to be. The glow in her presence that she showed them, an application for glowing at her, everyone goes home happy. For this less than devoted, the stripped back guru style Oprah is mostly a chore. Revered only by the fact that whatever she's doing, she's a compassionate performer of a single presence, whether on TV or on stage. She can get away with a lot just being Oprah. Maybe this night's main blessing, which seems a good way to end an upbeat, positive note. Maybe it's catchy. For this performance, I give it 2.5 out of 5 stars. Never watch it again, because this is a terrible voice that I don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show, Steve Ballmer. Steve Ballmer, I'm trying to read my T's here in this stupid voice. Steve Ballmer calls VS over cloud revenue figures. It's like nothing else you will ever hear. It's hopefully going to be a 5 out of 5 star story. As we continue It's 1:52.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thank you for joining us here on a Thursday here on the Generic Live Show. Boy, has it been a fun show, despite some of the terrible stories that we've had to cover. That sounds so bad. But it has been a fun show. We've got a debate going on whether me, I'm going to have to put it to an official poll, but me reading an Oprah review in a bad voice, or me failing at a sports ball quiz, an Australian sports ball quiz, I think the Oprah review might win the cake. I don't know. I'll have to put it out to you guys. What do you guys think? By the time you hear this, yeah, it would have been already decided if you're listening to us on the podcast. But meanwhile, before we move on, I just want to say thank you everyone for your support. We are getting a little bit in early on the Christmas song train. I know. And I know we've got this story here about Steve Ballmer saying that cloud revenue streams is a little bit BS. By the way, I just want to, just to get that off, out of the way first, but the company should disclose profit margins and sales for its cloud hardware businesses. Microsoft former chief executive said, quote, "It's a sort of a key metric. They talk about it in the key to the company. They should report it," Ballmer said. Microsoft reports annualized revenue run rate, or sales at a certain point in time carried out at a yearly rate, for its commercial cloud business has said, aiming to reach a $20 billion mark, 27 million Australian, by 2028. Ballmer says, who handed the reins to Satya Nadella in 2014, declared that the use of run rate is BS. They said that they should report the revenue, not the run rate, because run rate's not a hard figure. So they're just reporting. A kind of, well, here's what we think's going to happen over the next such and such a time. So that's what that story is about. But so thank you everyone for joining us. We are nearing the end of the broadcast, but I just wanted to quickly say again, our broadcasting coming up into the new year, we are hurling ever so forever closely to Christmas. We are doing a show Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve in the regular Thursday time slot, but the newly elated Thursday time slot, 12 noon to 2 p.m., we are doing a show live right here where you're listening to the show. We are doing a Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve show. So that's going to be fun. The first two shows of the new year, I will be actually in America because I'm participating in the Disney Marathon on the 9th of January. So that's going to be fun. So I will be doing two shows from there. We've got plenty on. We've got the first week I'm there, we're doing a Best of 2015 show. And we're going to be doing a very, very special, I think I'm going to make an inaugural, this special show, that the second week of January, we're going to do a special show. Of course, when I come back, I'm going to have tales galore for the show of my adventures in the US. It's going to be a blast. So we are not taking any time off over the break. Those two shows, though, by the way, the Best of 2015 and the special GLS show, are to be confirmed. Also, coming up into the new year, we will be changing time slots. We'll be from 10 a.m. to 12 noon from the show when I get back, which will be the first show back, will be the 22nd in Australia, the 22nd of January. The first show back in Australia will be the 22nd. There will be two shows between the 31st and the 22nd. 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right before the Geek.io show. There, So that's that. That Friday time slot will stay until the 26th of February, so it'll be another month before we return back to Wednesdays at the regular time slot. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the broadcast today. It's 2 o'clock. You've been listening to a radio program provided by the Chef Wonder Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwonder.squarespace.com. For more radio programs like this one, copyright 2015. Ah, see? 2015.
Copyright 2015. Geek.io. Geek. Geek. Geek.